It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're amazing. I'll be here with you for the next 3 hours. The show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So where have you been in the first hour? Were you here? Were you not here? Well, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We talked about a few things. The return of Damian Lillard. He is minutes away of from making his return from a blood clot in his leg to try to help the Milwaukee Bucks even up their series against the Indiana Pacers. Speaking of the Pacers, in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about a player on the Pacers that a lot of folks in the NBA feel is just, overrated. These are NBA players. We'll get into that in a second. Kawhi Leonard lit it up last night. Kirk Cousins showed up to work today. The New York Giants are trying to figure out what they want to do with the third overall selection. Apparently, the Cleveland Browns are in the same spot. Do they want to stick around at number two? Pick up Travis Hunter? Do they want to move on? We'll get into that in a second. Jerry Jones is like, well, I don't spend money to sign anybody. Might as well try to trade for somebody. The Dallas Cowboys looking to make some impact through the trade market. The NBA continues to roll on. Got some other matchups that we'll be able to see tonight. Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Lakers. We're 2 days away from the NFL draft. Jalen Milroe is picking up a lot of attention. Brock Purdy showed up to work today. George Kittle did not. Christian McCaffrey said his leg issues are behind him. Congratulations to him. Jason Kidd apparently not happy with the Mavericks. Who would have saw that one coming? And so we got a lot to get into as it relates to the NFL, the draft, the NBA, the playoffs. There's a lot to do. I already said you can always tune in, catch every second on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to people listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. It's really that simple. You got Sirius XM. It's $3.75. And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, in New York City. Now, here's the fun part about finding these stupid games. So, Hickey, this first game is on NBA television. Between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. Now, trying to actually watch it is where things get funny, because now things are just all over the place with TV. It basically doesn't exist anymore. You got to click around through a million things just to get a game. And this is what I also hate. Now I'm going off on a tangent. I hate turning a game on, Hickey. I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is. And I go, yes, I want to watch it, right? And they go, we got 20 different feeds. Which one do you want to watch? And I'm like, oh, my God, which one do I select? And then after that, they go, OK, which language do you want to watch it in? I'm like, English. I want to watch it in English. And then what camera do you want it from? I'm just like, I just wanted to open up the game. Why can't it default to English and all the rest of the defaults? Well, why I got to go through all these stupid steps?
Sometimes too many options is just as bad as no options. And I would agree. Just give me the game. Let me press one button and let's go.
Oh, my God. It's just unbearable. Oh, just play the regular feed. Do that. All this nonsense. We'll keep you up to date on Damian Lillard's return as they get ready for action. And I did tell you, as they get ready for the Indiana Pacers, I love these polls. Not polls as in like, things people slide up and down, like a fireman, that type of poll, not that type of poll. I love when the NFL Players Association hands out polls to their players and says, hey, fill this out anonymously. And then we get just great stories about how awful the New York Jets are, how cheap the Kansas City Chiefs are, despite the fact that they're, champion contenders every year, championship contenders. I love these polls. The coach that you love, the coach that you hate, I love all of it. The NBA has done similar. A big thank you to the wonderful people at The Athletic and The New York Times. because they took the time to go ahead and survey 158 anonymous players in the NBA. That's more than a third of the league. I know 158 guys doesn't sound like a big sample size, but it is. It's a third of the NBA rosters, all of them combined. And so they asked them various things like, who's the MVP for this year? And players said 56% of them said Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 37% said Nikola Jokic. Not a big shock. Not a big surprise. Especially given, I told you about the 68 wins that the Oklahoma City Thunder have, and it's typically voter fatigue, I believe, when you think about Nikola Jokic, despite the fact that he just averaged a triple-double. It's not a surprise. Hickey, not a surprise, right?
Not a surprise so far.
Not a surprise so far. NBA players also not dumb. When asked, which team, I like this one, which team other than your own will win the title this season? 57% of the players polled, 57% said the Boston Celtics. 17% had the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not a shock, not a surprise. You take a look at the Boston Celtics roster, you take a look at their depth, you look what they did last year. Barely needed Porzingis. Porzingis showed up and said, here's a couple points and a block shot. I'm going to sit my injured ass down. Didn't even need him, really, and still went out there on their way to a championship. 5 years from now, the players are asked who will be the face of the league. 54% of the players said Victor Wembanyama. 13 said Anthony Edwards. Bad idea, Anthony Edwards. He can't even, you know, finish a sentence without uttering a profanity. That's not going to be the case. Who is the league's most underrated player? Cade Cunningham, who scored 33 points against the New York Knicks last night. He had 8% of the vote. A matter of fact, 9%. Derek White of the Boston Celtics. He had 30 points himself the other night for the Celtics. Derek White, 7.5%. Norman Powell of the Clippers, 4.5%. Cade Cunningham, coming into his own, first-time All-Star. I think people are starting to recognize who the hell he is, because let's be real, the Pistons stunk last year. Why the hell would anybody sit down and watch them play? Now, Hickey, this is where things get fun, or maybe not. Who is the league's most overrated player? It's not Rudy Gobert at number one. Rudy Gobert has 10% of the vote. It's not Trae Young at 9%, most overrated player. It's not Trae Young at 9. The number one highest, most overrated player in the league, according to these players polled, Tyrese Halliburton of the Indiana Pacers, 14% of the vote. Now, people really have to hate your guts if they are calling you overrated more than Rudy Gobert. Because for whatever reason, Rudy Gobert is just, despite his, three, four Defensive Player of the Year awards, this guy's hated. People look at him and just go, this guy can't guard anything outside of the paint. I'm supposed to believe he's Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he has all these awards. He's the best. I mean, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame based on this. But the players feel that Tyrese Halliburton is the most overrated. This two-time All-Star, this Olympic gold medalist, who, by the way, he was sitting down next to Jason Tatum for most of the Olympics last year. I guess Steve Kerr thinks he's overrated. He's also in the midst of a 5-year, $240 million contract. Yeah, right now he's got a leg up on the Milwaukee Bucks. This season he averaged 19 points, had 9 assists, was good for about third or fourth in the entire league. Is a great shooter from three. Hickey, why do you think the players think this dude is overrated?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know if they just don't respect Indiana overall as a team, and he's kind of the star player of that team. So they say, oh, he's a fraud, or the whole team's a fraud, so he must be a fraud. I don't know if it's the two voices that he has. I don't know if it's because he doesn't really pour it in. You know.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I forgot about that thing. Like, he talks one day, he has a high pitch. Well, not even one day. He'll switch between high pitch and bass like nothing, right?
In like the same sentence. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he that likable? Just from an outwardly. So, I remember he went on a stretch a couple of years ago. Every game was like double digits. He has 17 points, 17 assists. He was absolutely lighting it up. And then I believe he had a groin injury and then he went down. And I think since then, I don't know. It just seems he's, I don't want to say eccentric, but he is. He's certainly eccentric off the court when it comes down to his dress, his style of dress. There was an instance over the holidays, just randomly at like 3 o'clock in the morning, he's posting videos with five women in a bathroom. And it's just, I think players look at him and just go, man, this cornball, man, get the hell out of here. Go play basketball and stop. And when he's on the court, he's just, I don't know. He doesn't have an edge. And so I think people look at him and they don't, I don't think they take him seriously, Hickey. I think that's why he might be looked upon as overrated. I don't think people say he has an edge or that he's a killer.
Right. I think that's definitely some of it. Most of it, like, would you compare him to, this kind of name popped in my head when thinking about this, kind of a little more watered down version of Russell Wilson?
Yeah. And I mean, without the success, you know, and yeah, but here's the thing. I think Russell Wilson, and we talk about this, everything is so manufactured. I think with Tyrese Halliburton, he's just being himself, and that's being goofy. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons as well why Rudy Gobert is here on the list. Imagine if Rudy Gobert played the way that he plays basketball, but then had the temperament of Isaiah Stewart. Would people be calling Rudy Gobert overrated?
Hell no.
No. They'd be like, this guy is 7'1", 7'2", and he could punch my lights out. Like, there's so I think there's no edge. Trae Young is here on the list. People think Trae Young, he's an excellent passer. In a lot of cases, especially, I don't think he's kind of shaken the fact of, you know, just being a guy who just gets shots. He can get buckets. He's a whole team. Now, why the league thinks he's overrated, I think a lot of guys might be looking at of things in the past. Behind Trae Young was Jimmy Butler at 5%, Bradley Beal at 4%, Draymond overrated at 4%. We know Draymond is. Julius Randle 4%. And after that, just a lot of nonsense. 2% of the players polled said no one who reached the NBA is overrated. Okay, those are a bunch of bums who said that. Okay. Bunch of bums. What else do we have here? Speaking of people fighting, that was actually something noted as well. Which player in the league would you least like to fight? Hickey, James Johnson is on the list. I don't even know what team he's on right now. Is he in the playoffs?
I have no idea.
He knows MMA. He's an MMA fighter. Okay, we get it. 63% would not want to fight him.
Wow.
Then I mentioned Isaiah Stewart. About 14% of the league doesn't want to fight him. He's always trying to fight everybody else. It's kind of crazy. Steven Adams has taken a backseat to Isaiah Stewart. Steven Adams, 11%. Nobody wants to fight Lu Dort, 2%. Jalen Duren, 1%. Brooke Lopez, 1%. Zion, 1%. Huh. How about, yeah. Don't want to fight him at the buffet line. I don't know about the basketball court, but. Yeah, I don't. Does he play basketball? I don't know. Yeah, wild stuff. Nobody likes Halliburton. Anyway, Doc Rivers got to face the guy. After game one of the playoffs, they're getting ready to start right now, actually, underway. Doc Rivers, he had some praise for Tyrese Halliburton. So at least the coach likes him.
I thought defensively we're pretty good. I still thought Tyrese or Halliburton still made plays, though, you know. You know, he's an interesting kid because he's more than just a scorer. And on the nights that he sees that they're taking stuff away, he's smart enough to fill that night and just make plays for his teammates. I thought he was very happy doing that. That, you know, he's a point guard. And I thought he had a hell of a game personally, even though he didn't score. He still got everybody involved, and that's just as dangerous.
Yeah, right. Well, that was from after game one. Well, game two is underway right now. The Indiana Pacers lead the Milwaukee Bucks 16-8. It's about 4 minutes that have gone by here in the first quarter. Damian Lillard has started, has yet to score a point. And Tyrese Halliburton, the man a lot of NBA players said is the most overrated player in the league, 0 points and four assists. Now, I don't know, maybe he's going to wake up today and say, hey, I'm so overrated. Watch me just dish out 20 assists in a victory. I think he's going to be out to make a statement. If the Pacers win this game, I want somebody to ask and get his response to this, okay? We had Nico Harrison sitting in front of the media yesterday. Media staring him in the face going, why should you have a job? Why shouldn't you be fired? Like, if we can get those type of questions asked to Nico Harrison, somebody, a matter of fact, win, lose, there's not going to be a draw. Somebody has to ask Tyrese Halliburton, how do you feel about NBA players, the majority of them, well, the ones polled, saying that you're overrated? And if I were him, I'm just tell those overrated players, hey, just go ahead and look at my bank account. Very, very simple. Here's some other quick quips you want to know. Aside from your own current coach, who's the worst coach in the league? Brian Keefe, 25%. Yeah, you don't even know who the hell that is. He coaches the Wizards. Mike Budenholzer won a championship. 18% got fired. Doc Rivers won a championship. People say he sucks, right? Doc Rivers, 12%. Those are your worst coaches in the league. Followed by Charles Lee, Nick Nurse, Tom Thibodeau, Darko Rajovic, Doug Christie just got a job, Jordy Fernandez, and Michael Malone. Damn. Hickey, these players are ruthless, huh? Are these guys just evil, you know what? Like the evil bastards? What are we doing here?
Possibly. I'm also laughing at how the question was phrased. Outside of your own coach, who would you say is the worst coach in the league?
Right.
I don't know how they just got me cracking up, but that, it does.
Oh, aside from your own current coach, who's the best in the league? Mark Daigneault of the OKC Thunder. Kenny Atkinson of the Cavs. Eric Spoelstra, Miami. Joe Mazzulla, Celtics. Ty Lue. What a shock. These are all teams. Let me see. Let me count this. Winning team, winning team, winning team. Championship contender, winning team, winning team. Greg Popovich is on here. Unfortunately, health issues. Ime Udoka, JB Bick. Hickey, it's all a bunch of people out of a bunch of winners. All the losing teams, for whatever reason, the coaches suck and not the players.
I'm shocked. Shocked by that. Did Michael Malone make the list at all?
Michael Malone made the list. He is both 2% for being one of the best coaches. He's 2% for being one of the worst. And now he doesn't even have a job, okay? They fired him, okay? I don't know. Wild wow. Stuff. And I'll leave you with this. Well, no, we'll do both ends. What is the league's worst organization? 40% Charlotte Hornets. 20%.
Cooper flag.
Yeah, 20% Wizards. 12% Pelicans. How about this? All three of those teams have they're tied for the best odds of winning the NBA draft lottery. So at least the players know the teams that suck. Now, is it the players or the organization? You be the judge of that. And the league's best run organizations. The Golden State Warriors, 21%. Oklahoma City Thunder, 18%. Boston Celtics, 15%. And then we fall off. How about this? What a world we live in. The Clippers, 9%. This is post-Donald Sterling. And welcome to Steve Ballmer land. The Miami Heat at 6%. The Lakers at 5%. Who would have thought that winning basketball games actually has a positive impact on what players think about what's going on? What a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Phone lines open if you want to give me a holler. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We come back from break. I'll get to your calls. Speaking of Hickey, mentioned Cooper Flagg. He better get ready to join a bum team. I want to tell you about somebody. He's a quarterback. He's going to be on a bum team, or maybe not. There's some high expectations for this QB. It's not Shedeur Sanders. It's not Cam Ward. I'll fill you in on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. How about this? Very important for you to know. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. We talked about this man last hour. Kawhi Leonard, man, he put the clamps down on the Nuggets. Helped the Clippers win game two. Kawhi dropping 39 points over this 105-102 victory. Also had three rebounds, two steals, a block, five assists. L.A., they go back home. The series is tied up with the Nuggets at one game apiece. Look, Kawhi Leonard is a physical freak. Nicknamed this guy the Claw. The size of his hands. Hickey, well, how big of his hands? They're supposed to be like, he doesn't have Wembanyama hands, but this guy got some mitts on him, right? If he smacked you, you feel multiple generations behind you.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of power in those hands. He's the opposite of Kenny Pickett, some are saying.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett, two tiny hands, what they call that man, something?
I know, Kenny Two Gloves is a nickname, but like Kenny Small Hands, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, did he not? Wait. Wasn't there a quarterback recently who did some type of finger? He lengthened the grip, like the space between your thumb and I guess your middle finger. You can do exercises to widen your hands. Somebody's hands just all of a sudden became bigger, I feel like, overnight recently.
No, you're 100%. I forget who it was. I want to say a quarterback. I think that's the only time that actually matters. People care. But, like, yeah, they grew from, like, I think it was the combine to, like, their pro day. Like,
right.
They grew.
Wow, how about this? It's Jalen Milroe.
What can't this guy do now?
What can't he do? Jalen Milroe, they say, allegedly, he had a growth spurt. So at the Senior Bowl, his hand size measured 8 3/4 inches, okay? 1 month later at the scouting combine, his hand measured more than a half inch bigger, 9 3/8 inches. How? Hickey, did they intentionally break his hands and try to spread his fingers apart? How? How does your hand grow that damn much in less than a month?
No idea. The human body is just amazing. I guess that's the only way I can sum it up.
That's what Barry Bonds said too, huh? Barry Bonds said the human body's amazing. Lance Armstrong said the same thing.
Roger Clemens, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, Roger Clemens. Sammy Sosa. Here
Sammy
we go.
Sosa.
The body is an amazing thing. Okay.
David Ortiz, allegedly.
Allegedly. Be careful, Hickey. Be careful.
I said alleged.
Did you say A-Rod?
Did not. Good call. A-Rod.
Yeah. The body is an amazing thing. Well, we know Jalen Milroe is an absolute physical freak. Not only did his hand grow 5/8 inch in 28 days. Yeah. Hickey, there's a joke there that I will avoid, okay?
You sure you don't want to say it? Come on.
I'm going to say, hey, listen, if this guy's growing hands in 28 months, if he knows how to share some secrets, he could skip football and get rich doing something else, educating the world. But I'll stay away from that joke. Anyway, we'll get back to Jalen Milroe in a second. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. David is here from Los Angeles. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, JR. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually wanted to talk to you about the NFL draft, and I want to go back and look at some past drafts here. And I'm curious to hear what your takes are on what I call some of the bigger NFL draft regrets. I'm only going to call them this because I don't have a better name for them. Let me explain what
busts?
They are.
Okay, not that's, busts?
No, not a bust. Not a bust. Not
okay,
a bust.
Okay, all right.
A draft regret is not a bust. A draft regret, for me, is somebody who was drafted, who was productive, but unfortunately was also taken shortly before someone who was a superstar. So I'll give you a couple examples. 1998, the Titans take Kevin Dyson. Yeah, the Titans take Kevin Dyson. Okay, he became a solid wide receiver for them for a number of years on you know, the plus side of the Music City Miracle. Unfortunately, a couple of picks later, the Vikings took Randy Moss. 2014, the Vikings went defense and took Anthony Barr, I think number 9.
Well, how about
Anthony Barr helped the Vikings defense be a solid defense for a number of years, but a couple of picks later, the Rams took Aaron Donald.
That's a latter example. The first thing that came to mind was, 2017 with Patrick Mahomes? We think about Trubisky getting drafted in front of him, and what other quarterback? Well, it was pretty much Trubisky went before him.
I wouldn't call Trubisky a regret just because he wasn't really that productive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't as productive enough to be called a regret. I mean, the best quarterback example I can think of, Mark Bulger, 2000, 6th-round pick, and becomes a solid starter for the Rams. In any other draft, he would have been a steal. Unfortunately, he was also taken in the same 6th-round as some guy named Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, that's an outlier. I mean, if we're going to put Tom Brady, what are you going to talk about? Brock Purdy next? I mean, that's tough. Like these.
Well,
are
he can't be a regret because he was the last pick. He was the last pick.
Not him. But what am I going to say? Every person drafted in front of him from the quarterback position is just because he was drafted last. Everybody in front of him, is there a regret that they'd rather have Brock Purdy?
Well, it's got to be shortly in front. That's why I specified Mark Bulger, right? I didn't say Chad Pennington because he was too far out. But it's shortly before a guy who became more productive.
Okay. Now, listen, man. Want me with this this thin, I can't even call it. It's like a razor-thin line you're telling me. Yeah, this guy's, he's not a bust, but at the same time, he's a regret. You want me to look at, 30, 40 years of NFL draft history, just start pulling names out of a hat? I know the guys
as little or as much as you want to, JR.
I have very zero interest in doing so, man. I talk about bums here, okay?
Good.
You want to talk to me about Tim Couch? We could talk about Tim Couch. You want to talk to me about a fat guy like Jamarcus Russell? We could talk about that. But, you know, bringing up arbitrary names of guys who had normal careers, man, regrets? Like, we got teams who regret guys every single year. I'm not picking out regrets. I think there's a reason that in most cases, whether it's me or you look at anybody, people are just looking at busts, not guys who were good or didn't have good careers. Like, we could sit around forever picking out regrets. This is why it's a draft. Yeah. There's no certainty here.
Yeah, and again, I'm only calling that because I don't have a better name for them. But you know what? You don't let me.
I'm not thinking about guys in the middle. Like, we just talked about Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was selected before Brock Purdy, okay? Desmond Ridder, unfortunately, I had to sit down and watch this guy here in Atlanta. That man was selected before Brock Purdy. Malik Willis.
They all were.
He's getting you sure as hell they all. He's getting a new lease at life. Is he actually going to play? We'll find out. Selected above Brock Purdy. Bailey Zappi, selected. I mean, I can go on. Like, are these guys busted? Just guys in the league, man. I don't know. I'm not going to call them, you know, regrets. Like, every team can have regrets. I don't know. That's pretty wide, man.
It is a lot wider. I just figured that, you know, we talk about busts and we talk about steals routinely, you know, but what about the guys who were taken who wound up being productive, but unfortunately, you know, somebody else better went very shortly afterward?
I don't know. That's every team. That's every team, every year, a million guys. Like, I have regrets, okay? Like that night a couple weeks ago, the championship game, I decided to have Wendy's after the show. I don't eat that. I had it one day. I regretted it the next. It's just, it's par for the course. The next day, I went back to what I normally eat. So, no big deal, David. Hey, David, don't think too hard about things, all right?
It's the sports fan in me. I tend to come up with these kinds of thoughts.
Okay. Well, who are you rooting for? The Chargers? What are you, a Rams fan, a Raiders fan? What are you?
Eagles.
Okay. All right. You got nothing to think about. This is why you're wasting your time. Thank you, David.
Exactly. I'm still celebrating the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Thank you for calling from L.A., my man.
Thank you so much, JR. Take care.
No problem. Hickey, that was a new one. He was just like, hey, let's name some draft guys who didn't live up, but, you know, guys who were good but not good enough. And I'm like, that's everybody. Like, that's every draft. I could just go through every draft and find a guy that a team wishes they didn't have, but that's impossible to do.
It is, and that takes a lot of effort. I give him credit, at least, for going back and going through that exercise. Let me ask you this. In present day, would you say that the Bears would have a draft day regret after drafting Caleb Williams and not seeing what Jaden Daniels did?
Too soon. Too soon.
That's fair.
Too soon. You know, Hickey, it's not exactly the Mavericks trading, Luka to the Lakers. Not exactly Nico Harrison sitting up in front of people just saying stuff, you know?
That, yes, you're right about that, thankfully.
We're not there yet. We'll see. That is going to be a good one. I don't know. And let's see what things look like in year number two. Because you look at what Daniels did. Man, he had a historically great season. The man was a step away from being the first rookie to go out there and start and take a team to the Super Bowl. It didn't happen that way. We all saw that. Can he do that in year two? What's it going to look like? I know here in the offseason, it appears that his biggest defender, Hickey, is his mother. Have you seen his mother?
No.
She's popping up. He was talking to, what's the young lady that?
Oh, yes, Juju Watkins, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
They were at the Women's Final Four. He was sitting next to her, and they were all smiling together because, of course, cameras catch everything. And then the mother ended up sitting right between them. I'm like, well, damn. You're just getting in the way of your son. And then there was another video. He was at, like, a wedding or something. And then I think the mom butted in and moved another lady out the way. So the only person that could stop him is his mother and nobody else for now.
You think that's too much?
What, his mom?
The detriment of his career?
No. No, Hickey.
Would you say his mom's on the same level as Jason Tatum's mom?
Listen, Jason Tatum's mom is talking about going to the opposing team's locker room. This man's mom, God bless her, I give her credit. She's trying to make sure that he doesn't end up, you know, in the headlines with some of these other idiots, okay? And nothing wrong with that, all right?
Yes, you don't want your son to be like Zion Williamson, I would agree.
Zion? Oh, my God. I didn't even think about Zion. Yeah, we don't want that. Oh, but there's only one. Like, you got to be real stupid to end up like Zion, no?
I would agree, which is why I think she does come off as overbearing and a little too much for an adult.
Yeah, if it's Juju Watkins, I'm like, I would look at her and go, oh, yeah, that's the type of young lady I want him to talk to. Or does mom think that Juju Watkins is now a distraction?
I mean, with her focus, her talent, I feel like that'd be perfect for your son.
She has her own thing. She's not going to try to hustle and rob him.
Right. Exactly right.
I don't know. Maybe she's on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. I don't know. Don't moms have they have radar for stuff like this?
I guess clearly for Jaden Daniels' mom, she does. She swooped right in and gave that, you know, no chance of having any life.
Well, let's see what he does when he's 30 years old, okay?
Okay.
See what he looks like. Hey, I know Dwight Howard was very family-oriented, very close with his family. And let's just say things went very left and left and left and left and left and left some more for Dwight Howard. Yeah, love your kids, but let them live a little bit. Otherwise, they wild out at the end. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talked about the growing hand size of Jalen Milroe. We'll talk to you about his speed and what one GM thinks is spectacular, maybe even better than Lamar. We'll get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Right before we went to break, we talked about Jalen Milroe. We know the top quarterbacks are in the draft. Cam Ward is now, there's now rumors and noise that Shedeur Sanders may completely fall out of the first round. We don't know whether the Giants, we don't know if the Browns are going to stick around at picks number two and number three. We got Jackson Dart who's floating around. We got Jalen Milroe, who I just talked about. And apparently, there are a lot of people that are impressed, obviously, with the physical gifts of Jalen Milroe. This man ran a 4.3 40-yard dash. Jalen Milroe, just this past season for Alabama, he rushed for 20 touchdowns on the ground. Like, he is a physical freak. He is a nightmare that no one wants to encounter on the football field. And the man who has the number two overall pick in the draft, I'm not expecting him to utilize the selection to take Jalen Milroe. But Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, says Jalen Milroe, he's a freak.
You know, Jalen, he's got rare physical talent. You know, he may be the only, when he gets in the NFL, he may be the only quarterback who's faster than Lamar. Don't tell Lamar I said that, please. He's got rare physical gifts. You know, he's strong, he's fast, he's got a really strong arm. And any system that you build around him, you want to take advantage of the fact that he has things that no other players at the position have.
Well, let me tell you, I'd love to see him on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'd love to see the Steelers end up with a veteran quarterback, a la Aaron Rodgers, as much of a pain in the ass that he is. I think Aaron Rodgers would give the Steelers the best chance of having success. I don't think they're having Super Bowl success, but I think he would give them the best chance and an opportunity. And then after that, I think being able to draft Jalen Milroe late in the first round or the second round and develop him, let's be real, I'd be shocked if Jalen Milroe's getting a chance to start. He ain't starting a season anywhere. You can go ahead and throw that idea and concept completely out of the window. But I think there is certainly a possibility that he gets drafted. He can sit down, maybe learn something for a little while, and then get his chance. I think that'd be cool for Jalen Milroe. Now, is it going to come with the Browns? Hell no. Like I said, we don't even know if the Browns are going to stick around at pick number two. Peter Schrager, he was on Get Up, and he said that both the New York Giants, who we discussed, and now also the Browns, that they could disappear and trade back and down from their slots at number two and number three. Listen.
There have been phone calls made to both the Browns at two and the Giants at three with the intention to move up, from several different sources telling me there are teams who are looking to get up in this draft to either the two or the three spot. The assumption being to move up to the two or the three spot, it would be for Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or the running back, Ashton Jeanty, who everyone expects to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 to 8 range. There have been teams making calls, and those teams are not immediately slamming down the phone. The Browns at two, the Giants at three.
Hickey, I think the New York Giants definitely stick around at number three, unless there's a team right behind them that they feel that they can get a deal out of. And, you know, I don't know, but Abdul Carter is going to be gone by then. So I think the Giants are going to stick around at three. I think they'll trade Kayvon for whoever the hell they can get for him in a later rounds. And do the Browns move? I think the Browns are in this for the long run. Maybe they don't get Travis. Or maybe they're just playing stupid. I think both teams will stick around. I think both the Browns and the Giants will stick at 2 and 3.
I agree. I guess the question is, what would it take to move out? Like, if the Giants got a call and said, hey, we'll give you a first-round pick and a second-round pick to go, let's say, from, maybe it's the Saints, let's just, for just argument's sake, to go from 3 to 9. Would you do that?
Are you saying Give me that non-spot in a second rounder?
No. Like, you know, you swap and, you know, you go from three first to nine. Round. You get a right. first-round pick and a second-round pick. Like, is right. there, I guess, when you look at it, right, because if you're the Browns or the Giants, if you trade down, you are, I would agree, missing out on both Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. You're not most likely getting either if you trade down. Is there, like, a number in your mind of, hey, if I get two first-round picks, that's worth missing out on these guys? Is it higher than that? Is there no price?
Well, I think it depends on how much you value the guys who are at the top of the draft. Obviously, Travis Hunter is almost in a realm of his own. I don't even know if it's comparable to say, hey, you know, you got a cornerback and you got a wide receiver. We can start going through the wide receivers. There's no match for that. And that's what's going to be sitting right there for the Browns to take, which is difficult for me to think about. And then once you get past Abdul Carter, nobody's thinking about Mykel Williams or James Pierce in the same space. They could end up being that, but it's a tough one. I'd stand pat, man. I really would. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Want to talk some more NFL on the other side of the break? Don't move. Days away from the draft. The Infinity Sports Network, the JR Sport Brief Show.